Amen. Good morning, everyone. Please go ahead and be seated. C'est vraiment un plaisir d'être ici à Ottawa ce matin et de prêcher la parole de Dieu en français. So Tony said I have to do the message in French today, so I pray for the Spirit's power to do that. Of course, we've known Tony and Melanie for a long time, Helen and I, and it's really a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be with the Ottawa Church. It's such a joy to be able to see so many faces that I really don't get to see very often, but that I've known for such a long time. And if you don't know me, my name is Mike Lazine. I'm currently the evangelist of the church in Calgary. I've served in ministry for almost 30 years in Toronto, at Montreal, and then now in Calgary. And we've now been in Calgary for almost 16 years. And it's a long time to be in the same city leading the same church. But it's amazing. It's been an amazing, amazing experience. And this will be kind of my 30th year in ministry. And I'm going to actually go into kind of semi-full-time ministry retirement starting next year. Because, you know, I figure now that I'm 45 years old, it's probably time. We knew like the bells from way, way back in the day in the Toronto church. We knew, of course, Danam from the Montreal church. We knew Joy Mutoni and James from the Calgary church. And after all of these years, we're just encouraged to be able to serve in other capacities in the church in Calgary. I do want to share also that the lesson that I'm going to preach today is kind of 5 years of my spiritual journey jammed into. See, Melanie is such a loving, caring individual because she sees my, you know, kind of lily white slash pink skin and knows if I stand out there, it's going to be painful. This is kind of 5 years of my spiritual journey jammed into one message. And, you know, what I came to realize, I don't know if you guys are aware, but in Calgary anyway, we had this thing called COVID.
Oh yeah.
You probably didn't have it here in Ontario. You know, like we all kind of got locked down and shut down, and you know, church service was me in my basement looking at a camera, and no one was allowed in my house. It was like this painful experience, and I started kind of digging into kind of my own spiritual life, and I became a Christian in 1986, and so I realized, you know, I'd kind of grown and grown and grown, but given kind of where I was at spiritually, I'd gone, I think, as far as I could go without reevaluating some of my Christian life. Yeah. And that led to really a reevaluation of the role of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. In my life and in general, in the church, in the lives of individuals around me. Amen. And so that, you know, you're going to get a lot today.
All right.
So you're getting 5 years crammed into one message.
Wow.
And I literally have been preaching this off and on for the last 5 years. And, you know, now, of course, we're doing the thread and what have you. But like for, you know, message after message after message was on the Holy Spirit working in our lives, was in spiritual transformation, was in becoming the new humanity that God wanted us to become, Ephesians chapter 2. And over, we would just keep digging into this. And we saw an amazing change in our church. But you get all of it in one lesson today.
Amen.
Okay, and I do interactive, so I ask questions.
Okay.
So let me start. Let me ask this. How, 1 to 10, how important is the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures?
100%.
Everyone says 10.
Yes.
Right? 100%.
Yep.
No one's saying, oh, bro, I don't know, maybe like 8.5.
Yeah.
No, like it's a 10. It's totally a 10. And the challenge is, here's our challenge. As much as we acknowledge it's a 10, and the spirit of my life, it's a 10.
Yeah.
How much time did you spend last week thinking about the Holy Spirit working in your life? How much time did we spend, you know, contemplating, meditating? How many prayers did we offer to God to empower the Spirit in our lives to change us and transform us? It's like we have Jesus with us, every minute of the day, and we kind of ignore them. It's like we got up in the morning and Jesus gets up beside us, and we have our morning coffee and Jesus has his morning coffee beside us. And we, you know, get on the bus to go to work and Jesus sits in the seat right next to us.
Right.
So some of the translators are asking that you go a little slower. Just a little slower. I know you're
it's like Quebec City all over again.
We're in Quebec.
We did. I will. I'll slow down. I promise you I will slow down for you. I did communion talk in Quebec City like 6 weeks ago, and someone was actually kind of translating as I went.
Yes.
And I got so excited that I just rifled through things, and he literally would come up behind me and tap me on the shoulder, and I'd be like, "Oh yeah, okay, bro, catch up. good luck, good luck." That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, it's like we have this Jesus with us every minute of the day, and we kind of ignore him. We kind of don't often recognize his presence. You know, it's amazing, but we don't think through the agency and the ministry that he should be performing in our lives day by day. Francis Chan wrote a book about the Holy Spirit a few years ago. You know who that is, Francis Chan?
Yep.
Wrote Crazy Love, really popular, great author. You know what he called the book?
Forgotten God.
Forgotten God. Yep. Right? Wow. Because we just kind of forget about him.
Yep.
Every prayer we say, what do we say? God in heaven.
Yep.
And we end by saying, in Jesus' name.
Yep.
It's like we kind of lost the third part of the Trinity. And I realized for my life, that my life was a lot more based on kind of my rule-based Christianity that really fits into a lot of, and I'm not, you know, saying anything about the Ottawa Church, the Calgary Church, or our churches in general, but fits into Western Christianity. Modern Western Christianity is much more based on the Word, on the commands, and on following the Christian checklist. I don't know if you've ever felt like you have a checklist.
I mean,
the first 15 years of my Christian life, I had a literal checklist.
Yeah.
I literally would go through the checklist. Did I read my Bible 7 days this week? Check.
Yeah.
Did I pray 7 days this week? Check.
Yeah.
Did I, you know, go to all the church meetings that applied to me this week? Check.
Yeah.
Did I give my donation this week? Check. You know, and I would go through it, and my feelings would be based on how I did with the checklist. And so I realized at one point that is actually not right. And so I got rid of the checklist. But, you know, when we have something in our minds for a long time, it kind of gets hardwired. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
Yep.
OK, let me ask you a question just to prove the fact.
Okay.
If you are a member of the ICOC, and if you have a paper Bible that nobody has anymore.
Yes.
And if you drop your Bible on the ground, amen. And if you drop it, what chapter does it open to? There's three. What chapter?
Matthew 28.
Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Spirit, the Son and the Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Truly, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, what else? Acts 2:38, therefore repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What's the third? Galatians 5. And by the way, we'll do it now. By the way, Galatians 5 is an amazing chapter about what? The Holy Spirit. But you know, but you're right, because we think sins. We actually, a while back, we decided no more Galatians 5, 19 to 21 in the sin study.
Amen.
We're doing the whole thing.
Yeah. Come on.
We're not saying, okay, stop, the end, see ya. We're going to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is what God wants us to become. And so I say all of this to remind us that we have the Holy Spirit with us.
Amen.
And we kind of, as Francis Chan says, we kind of forget and we kind of neglect the Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
Think about the Old Testament. We've all been working on through the thread series, yes, right? Yes. Coast to coast. I find that very encouraging. The very things we're studying in Calgary, you're studying here.
Amen.
And they're studying in Montreal. And they're studying in Newmarket. And we can go kind of across the country, and we're all kind of on page and learning the Bible, you know, bit by bit by bit, and we'll go through the entire thing front to back. And that's very encouraging and inspiring. But if you think about it, in the creation story, God makes man, makes woman, places them in the garden. Where's God? With them. What does it say? He said he walked with the man in the cool of the day. I love the cool of the day. Love the cool of the day. You know, that appears nowhere else in the entire Bible. Right? But there is a place where we see the opposite. And that's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And the guys who worked all day said, man, we've been slaving away in the heat of the day. But he walked with the man in the cool of the day. Then we see when God calls Moses to rescue Israel out of slavery and to bring them out. Where is God during this escape from Egypt?
Right there.
Where?
Doing all the miracles.
In front of them. In front of them, leading them. And then they get out to Sinai, and he gives them the law, and he says, build a house for me, a tent. Yeah. And then he's in the tent, and where's Israel?
Right around him.
Yeah, and it's amazing, eh? Like, completely, there's an outer ring, which has the tribes, like 10, and then the two half-tribes, like 3, 3, 3, and 3. And then inside, it's the Levites, who are, you know, the three families, Levi's sons, 1, 2, 3, and then Moses and Aaron. Yeah. So you've got an inner circle, an outer circle, and God is where?
In the center.
In the center.
Yep.
And all of this, he goes to the temple, and he's with them, and he's present. And then Jesus comes. And who is Jesus?
He's the living Word.
The living Word. Yeah. Son of God.
Yeah.
What's the incarnation? What does that word mean?
God in the flesh.
Amen. Right?
Yep.
God living with us in human form.
Right.
That's Jesus.
Yep.
Jesus, one of the names that he was given was Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean?
God with
us. We get the sense that the story of the entire Bible is God with man.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Then Jesus dies, is resurrected, and ascends to heaven. And what does he say before he ascends? Okay, guys, see ya.
Nope.
Live great Christian lives. I'll catch you on the other side.
No.
Yeah, I'll send the Comforter to you.
Yeah.
He actually says, it's good that I go.
Right.
Because when I go, my Father will send you an advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor, like countless names, but all referring to who?
Holy Spirit.
And who, not what.
Right.
Right? The Holy Spirit is a person, edge, right? It's not an it or a thing.
Right.
So we have the Spirit. And so when Jesus says he's going to send him, listen to this. He gives 7 different things that the Spirit will do. He says he will be with you. He will live in you. He will teach you. He will remind you. He will speak to you. He will guide you. And he will make known to you.
Amen.
And he says, this is the Spirit that God is sending us to live in us, to be with us, to guide us, to instruct us, and help us.
Come on.
And I think sometimes we kind of block out the Spirit because we're so focused on the checklist. Or we're so focused on living out these things that we don't think through, God is present with me and in me. I want to talk for a minute about the Spirit's role, ministry, and agency in our lives. And I hope I haven't heard from the translators, but I hope I'm doing okay and it's slowed down enough. I don't go slow. I got 2 speeds, fast and off. So I got a bunch of stuff I'm cutting out, by the way, because it's outdoor service. Plus, I don't want to give you all 5 years, more than you can handle.
This is good stuff,
the Spirit is present in your life.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6, very similar wording says, don't you know your body is a temple.
Yeah.
A temple in which God dwells by his Spirit. And what I always found interesting is if you got to read both and read through them, but one of them is talking about you as an individual. That your body, Armin Doucette's body, is a sacred temple in which God lives by his... Yeah, why couldn't I pick like Wayne Bell or something, you know? Like, at least, you know, we got a little going on. In which God lives by his Spirit. It's personal and it's individual. But the other one says, and you together form that body. That the church, God's Spirit is present in the church.
Yes.
That's what's amazing. As we had the singers up today and as we're singing praises to God, the whole idea is God's Spirit is in our midst.
Yes. Right.
Is among us. Amen. Always. But as we praised God this morning, his Spirit was among us.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't let Tony or I lead songs.
Yes.
Because they're afraid we will frighten the Spirit away by our song leading. Okay, the Spirit's agency in our lives. So, like, part of this is just, I know I got the Spirit when I was converted. I know I got the Spirit when I was baptized. I know my sins were forgiven and God poured the Spirit into me. And Galatians 3 says that, you know, if we were baptized into Christ, that we were clothed with him. You know, I know all those things. So yes, I have the Spirit and it's a seal of my inheritance and it's all these great things. But you know, what does it actually do? What's the point? So let me tell you, the Spirit is about our transformation.
Come on.
That's the ministry of the Spirit in each one of us. The Spirit is transforming us. 2 Peter chapter 1.
All right.
A lot of when I kind of go on these journeys spiritually and I start, you know, kind of turning over all the rocks in my life and trying to, you know, determine things, it starts out because I read a scripture that just freaks me out and blows my mind all at the same time. And, you know, this was one of those scriptures that I read and just there's one thing in it that just I was like, that's incredible. So 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. First, let me ask you this. What's the repeated word in this paragraph? It's always a good thing to ask. Through. Five times Peter says through. And you can read through it, right? Through the righteousness of God, we have inherited such a great faith. Through the knowledge of God, we have grace and peace in abundance. Through our knowledge of him, we have access to divine power that gives us everything we need. Through his glory and goodness, we've received great and precious promises. And through these great and precious promises, we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. Do you get the sense here that Peter is trying to convince them that everything we have and everything we do comes from God? Right?
Yeah.
Nowhere in there do we get the sense that by your own power and self-discipline and will, you can grow spiritually into a giant. You know, you don't get that sense. It's all, man, through what God has done, you get this. And then through this, he gives you this. And then through that, and you know, this is all about God working powerfully in our lives. Five times Peter repeats through and guides us through this. But the word that really blew my mind here was this concept of participating in the divine nature. You ever thought deeply about that? It's nowhere else in the New Testament or the Bible, right? And so I thought a lot about it, and it's both extremely complex and also extremely simple, right? We participate in the divine nature. What does divine mean?
God.
Yeah, of God. We participate. What does participate mean? Yeah, we're actively involved in God's nature. And you think about it, what's the opposite of God's nature or the divine nature? Worldly nature, sinful nature, human nature. Like, it's the opposite. And so, see, what he's doing, and something that we see a lot in the Bible is this idea of contrasting.
Right.
That, you know, when we are working with the Spirit, when we are taking all the through God, we can do this, we can participate in the divine nature. And he goes on to say, and what? Escape the corruption of the world. It's an amazing concept. And it's, to me, it's so encouraging that we're not just have the name of Christian, but we have the very nature of God within us. So the idea of escaping the corruption of the world and entering the divine nature, where do we see that? In the Bible. What chapter do we see where you've let go of the worldly nature and entered into the spiritual nature? And we talked about it earlier. It's in the sin study. It's Galatians 5. Right? Think about Galatians 5. You know, Galatians 5, we need to all go back and reread it again. And just think through the entire chapter. But think about how he starts, verse 16. I'm going to kind of paraphrase it here, but verse 16, before we even enter the list of sins, what does he say? Be led by the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. In fact, they're in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. He who is led by the Spirit is not under law. And then he jumps into the acts of the sinful nature.
Right.
Right? But the whole idea there is if we allow and if we focus on and if we make the Spirit the God of our lives, that not just will repentance take place, but will not satisfy the desires of the sinful nature. You know, one thing that I've experienced in my life is when I spend my life and I'm like, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't look, don't touch.
Yeah.
What does the scripture say in Colossians? You know, do not handle, do not taste, you know.
Yeah.
When I do that, you know what happens? Yeah, I'm more likely to sin.
Yeah. Right.
It's kind of like, well, don't nobody think about yellow elephants right now. Nobody. It's like, everyone's like, oh, yellow elephant. What's up? What's up with the yellow elephant? You know, like, we're buying into a concept that's going to lead us to discouragement. Why? Because we're destined to fail, and then we end up carrying around this guilt with us through our Christian lives. Okay, we're all forgiven Christians under God's grace. And how big is His grace? Yeah, I used to say it, you know, your grace is an ocean and my sins are but a drop.
Right.
You know, like that's God's grace. And yet oftentimes we carry this guilt for our sins.
Right.
Sometimes you feel like, I don't know, you know, I can't pray because I got to kind of work my way out of sinfulness. Then I'll be more comfortable praying again. I've talked to Christians before that I've seen, you know, they pass the communion tray. They don't take communion. And I'm like, well, why didn't you take communion? I had a bad week, bro. But that's why you need communion. But you know, when we really focus on that, we create this mechanism whereby we're destined to fail and then we feel guilty.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if as a Christian you have felt guilty before. And God says, no, you're under grace. You've been forgiven. You should not be carrying around this guilt in your life. And we are, as Christians, participating in the divine nature. And so after he does that in Galatians 5, he gives us the list of sins, right? We all know the list of sins, 19 to 21, you know, the acts of the sinful nature, obvious sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, and he goes on and on. And those who live like this will surely not inherit the kingdom of God. And it doesn't end there. And that's kind of the point, right? Then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. That's the fruits of the Spirit. Did I get them in order? Anyone who's reading knows, wait, that's not the order. Let me tell you why. Many years ago, I memorized the nine fruits of the Spirit. Sadly, and I don't know how, but I memorized them in the wrong order. And a couple of times since then, I've tried to, you know, re-memorize them in the right order. But the problem, there we go. No, it's not possible. Obviously, you're a psychologist. You know the brain does not work that way. They're hardwired in there. And so every time I try to re-memorize them, I try to say them the right way, and I realize, no, that's not, but, and then I forget some, and then I lock up. I'm like your computer when it just starts cycling and cycling and cycling. By the way, when your computer does that, remember, one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Yeah. We're all human. We're all human. Amen. So Paul says in Galatians 5 that we should walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. All that in like 8 verses. Do you think he's trying to make a point?
Yes.
And his point isn't focus on 19 to 21 and the sins. His point for us Christians, especially us mature Christians, is we're living a life led by the Spirit. And when we live that life is all about growing in these fruits. It's all about being transformed from the inside out by the Spirit. And we, of course, are what? Participants.
Amen.
In that transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Okay, let's go back to 2 Peter 1.
Okay.
Because as much as I've just kind of gone from participating in the divine nature, and now we've kind of gone through and escaping the corruption of the world, and we've gone through Galatians, Peter is going to keep talking. And when he explains what it is to participate in the divine nature, he says this starting in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. He gives us the same thing Paul gives us in Galatians 5, 22 to 24. He gives us that growing list, and as a Christian, we can't spend decade after decade just walking through life saying, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, and check the box, check the box, check the box. We have to get here. Onto this new plane where we're striving to grow, to become the man or woman that God wants us to become.
Amen.
It's not about simply powering forward on your journey. It's about being transformed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You'll notice, of course, what's the first fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
What's in Peter's list, what's the culmination of all things?
Love.
The most important thing we do as a Christian is we love.
Amen.
We love God, of course.
Yes.
We love our neighbor.
Yes.
And our enemy.
Yes.
And our brother.
Yes.
And our sister.
Yes.
And our families. And everybody.
That's right.
We love the person who mistreats us.
That's right.
We love all the political figures. We love all the political figures.
Yes.
It's a hard one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard one. I remember Ellen and I at one point were praying. We're praying together at the beginning of COVID, and I was like, "Okay, honey, we're gonna go there today. We're gonna pray for our leaders the way God says we should.
Yeah.
Here's how it's gonna go down. I'm gonna pray for Justin Trudeau, and you're gonna pray for Donald Trump." Helen's such a great Christian.
Yeah.
I could tell in her heart she was resisting. But she did it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we love. I mean, I joke around about it and what have you, but we're called to love.
That's right.
And we're called to stand out. Let me tell you a story. Recent, true story, me, yesterday.
Okay.
I got on the plane to come here. everything's great. I was sitting near the front, so I was in zone three. I got to board a little earlier, so I got a space for my carry-on bag. I was very happy, so encouraged. Amen. Sitting beside two, you know, very lovely people, a mom and her son said, hello, it's great, plane fills up. Suddenly, we're not moving.
Why?
I don't know. Half an hour goes by. Pilot comes on. We're having some mechanical issues.
Oh, the good old mechanical issues.
I was like, oh no, like, don't take us off the plane, because once they do that, you know, like, you may as well go home. You're not flying out till tomorrow.
Yeah.
But he says, I think we might be able to fix it. We've called someone from maintenance. They're going to be here and look at it. Take about a half an hour. Half an hour goes by. Comes back on. Okay, the maintenance guy has come. We've diagnosed the problem. He needs to go get some components and parts. We think we can fix it. It's going to take half an hour.
Oh, good old half an hour.
Half an hour later, he comes back on. Okay, we've installed all the new components and we've got it. We feel like it's up and running, but we need to do a little testing first. It's going to take?
Half an hour.
Half an hour. Now it's 2 hours. Yeah, now it's 2 hours. And you know, when they don't take off with the plane right away, you know what happens, right?
Yeah.
It gets hot.
Yes.
Right? Because they're not running the air conditioning and all that right. stuff. And it's getting hotter and hotter.
Yeah.
And you know what happens to people?
Yeah.
When you ask them to sit in confined hot environments for long periods of time,
yes.
when they're supposed to be going somewhere and they're getting later, and what happens to people?
Agitated.
Okay. Is that the fruit of the spirit or the fruit or the acts of the sinful nature? Man, let me tell you, it's getting, I mean, people are getting upset and I can hear them. And I kept thinking, fruit of the spirit is patience. Fruit of the spirit is patience. Fruit of the spirit is peace. Fruit of the spirit is joy. And I thought, I got to preach this message. I can't be diving into my worldly nature here. And so, you know, I turned to the woman next to me. I said, well, probably better they find out now than like mid-flight when we're up in the air. She said, shut up. No, she did not. No, she was very kind about it. It was very nice. But it was, I'm seeing it. Okay, so then we fly to Ottawa. Great flight. Great flight. And I'm like, just, you know, really great. Not a lot of turbulence. Very nice. So we get to Ottawa. I'm like, okay, I got my carry-on, boom. I'm near the front of the plane, I'm off fast. I'm like, this is going great. I just gotta grab my car, go to my brother's house. I get to National Car Rental. There are 6 people sitting in the waiting room. I look through the windows, and you know what I see in front of me? An empty parking lot.
Oh boy.
What's going on? Well, there are 9 people who are supposed to return their cars who've not yet returned their cars. It's 9:30 at night, folks.
Wow.
And so, half an hour goes by, a car shows up. Like, there's a lot of us, right? And time is going by, and time, and I'm texting Tony, and I'm texting my brother, and I'm like, you know, here we are. Okay, do you know what the spirit in that room was? Not good. And I'm saying to myself, fruit of the spirit is patience. Fruit of the spirit is love. And then, and I have to feel, you know, like people are giving such grief to the poor little girls who work there at National Car Rental. And when you're older, everyone is little. Everyone's a kid. Like they look like they're, yeah, they look like they're like 18 years old. And I, by the way, just so you know, Helen and I are both turning 60 this summer. So, you know, we're kind of getting there. We're getting there. And people are giving these 2 girls so much grief. And I'm like, honestly, guys, there's not a blessed thing they can do about this.
Right.
And it's so not their fault.
Right.
And, you know, the spirit was just bad. And I just was like, I'm going to be patient. And I'm going to be loving. And I'm going to be friendly. And I'm going to live the fruits of the spirit. And I'm going to enable the Spirit to take charge and not satisfy the desires of the flesh.
Amen.
which is to be mad,
yes,
and to be angry,
yes,
and to be impatient, and to be, how could this possibly happen? And I don't know if everyone got the deal or not, but after 2 hours, I finally got the car, and she's like, I'm going to give you one day off your car rental.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's so kind of you.
Yeah.
Fruit of the Spirit is kindness.
Amen.
But I think it's a really kind of a dumb story, but I think it's a reminder of how,
yes,
we can stand out from, yep, the people in this world.
Yes.
You know, how we can be different,
yes,
of how we can live out. And you know what? When I left, I'm watching people leave, and by their body language, they're full of anger and bitterness. How did they help their own personal life?
Yeah.
Never mind spiritual life. I'm leaving, and I'm just joyful and happy. And I'm like, thank you so much for a day off my rental.
Yeah.
And I'm off to see my brother, and everything,
yeah,
is good. And I, you know, I think as Christians, the most important thing we can do,
yeah,
is strive to live out,
yes,
these fruits of the Spirit in our lives. It is how we enact and empower the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay, let me land the plane. God's desire for you,
yeah,
and me,
yeah,
is to take us from the corruption of this world,
right,
to being filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Okay.
To being these transformed individuals,
yes,
of light in a dark world. Right? You are a city on a hill, and you cannot be hidden.
Right.
And you know, you want people to ask you, why are you so happy?
Yes, we do.
Why are you so joyful?
Right.
You know, it's amazing. I, as many of you know, I played hockey most of my entire adult life and kid life. I played a lot of hockey.
Okay.
And I still play. And I, part of the reason I'm still playing is I genuinely love the guys I play with.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same team. They're great guys. I've actually tried to quit a couple times. They literally like, Mike, you can't quit. We love having you on the team. And so I keep playing because I really love them.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that's happened over and over and over again is when a new guy comes out and plays with us, you know, we'll, you know, get to know each other and what have you. And eventually I'll tell him, oh, yeah, I work as a pastor for a church. And I've heard from so many people, ah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
He said, you don't cuss.
Yes.
You don't play dirty.
Yeah.
You don't punch people in the face.
Not often.
Not often. Oh, gosh. I have a story. But you know, it makes sense. And I'm like, it makes me so happy. Because I'm like, me living the way Jesus wants me to live, it's not just me sharing my faith with someone. It's someone seeing it in me. And that's what I want. I think that's what we all need to strive for, that transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory that comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Are being transformed into his image and his likeness with ever increasing glory.
Okay.
That's our Christian trajectory.
Beautiful.
Right? It's not following rules,
yeah,
for your entire life.
Yeah.
It's being transformed in the image of God.
Indeed.
But you know what's so interesting about that? Isn't that where this whole story started? Genesis 1, man is created in God's image.
That's right.
And God's goal is to get us back into his image.
Right.
And he's given us Jesus living within us. Tim Mackey, who's my favorite preacher from Bible Project, refers to the Holy Spirit as your personal, portable Jesus.
Amen.
It's like you got Jesus in your backpack, you can take him wherever you go. Like that you are being transformed by the Spirit back into the very image that God created you to be in. 1 John chapter 3, and I'll paraphrase it, basically says that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are, and what we will be, we do not know. But we know that when he comes, we shall be like him.
Amen.
This idea that when Jesus comes back, he'll see himself in the mirror when he looks at you.
Ouch.
My brain just exploded.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, it's so amazing, but this is the transformation that the Spirit is accomplishing and striving to accomplish in our lives. Romans chapter 12 says, be transformed by what? You all know this. By what? The renewing of your mind. Like, for that we got to renew our mindset. And maybe this is, you know, maybe you guys all know this already, and you're like, oh, bro, we've been there for years. I'm glad you guys in Calgary finally figured it out. Took you long enough.
Not quite.
Maybe.
Not quite.
But, you know, what I had to do personally and as a church, we had to think differently. We had to stop thinking the way we're culturally programmed to think. Remember when you drop your Bible, it falls, and we all knew the same. We don't underestimate. You know, kind of the hard wiring that we have from our years and years and years of good Christian experience.
Right.
But, you know, maybe there are things that we need to unhardwire and relearn. Yes. And I think living by the Spirit is one of those things. Yes. We need to think differently that we might be transformed. Okay, I have some challenges for you.
Oh, that's good. Come on, let's hear it.
Bring it home.
I hope whenever I preach, I really want to accomplish three things. Number one, I want everyone to be entertained and to enjoy it.
Okay.
So, you know, like, I don't want everyone to fall asleep during the first 5 minutes because it's so boring. So I hope that you were entertained at least a little today.
No sleeping.
And I want us to learn new things.
Okay.
To leave and go, wow, you know, I learned something new about God today, about the Bible today, about myself today. And number three, I want us to feel challenged to actually do something.
Okay.
To actually change something.
Like,
and so here's my challenges for you today. Number one, memorize the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and think about them every day. Memorize them. You don't even have to memorize them in the right order.
All right.
I didn't.
All right.
But just remember, love first. Just remember that one. Love first, and then you're good. Memorize them and think about them. And then every day, as you pray, acknowledge the Father in the name of Jesus, but don't forget the Spirit.
All right.
Meditate on the Spirit. Pray for the Spirit to be activated in your life and empowered in your life. Practice the fruits of the Spirit every day. When you see an opportunity, when your plane doesn't take off on time, when your car rental company kind of forgot what a reservation actually is, practice the fruits of the Spirit and become the best version of you that you can be.
Amen.
To God's glory.
Amen.
And that's my message today, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope
Thank
it was in informational and inspiring.
Awesome.
So we now, as we do every week, we'll take the communion and we'll remember Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and remember his sacrifice for us. If you do not have communion, just raise your hand and it will be brought to you. And in just a moment, we'll pray, we'll take communion together, and we'll sing some more.
Amen.
Can I start the prayer while he's... Okay. Okay, let's, as we pass out the communion, let's bow our heads and we'll pray. God in heaven, we're so inspired, so encouraged,
yes, God,
and so grateful to have a relationship with you. Father, we recognize as we looked in the scriptures today and as we know, we're it's not our worthiness that brings us to you. It's not the things that we've done that we're deserving. It's the sacrifice of Jesus. That, Father, you looked upon us with incredible love. You saw our state, and you sent your Son as an offering for us. And through him, God, we are redeemed. Through him, we are cleansed. Through him, where there once was death, there is now life.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an amazing hope. And Father, you've filled us with your Spirit, and you've guided us into your presence. Father, help us today as we take communion to actually commune with you.
Yes, God.
Help us to put all things out of our minds and to focus solely on the sacrifice of Jesus and on your work in our lives and the Spirit and all it does for us. Father, we're so grateful, we're so thankful, and we give you the glory, you the honor, and you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.